This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, baby, that is Nick Jonas with Bacon.
Oh, that's a Jonas.
It's one of the Jonases. Okay. Did you recognize it?
No. I didn't. I didn't know that it was Nick Jonas.
Now, you know, we've been talking about this CSIR outside broadcast we're going to be doing with Ariane Katt and Thibaut Touch from the Science Forum 2016.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been talking about it. So I thought it might be fun for us to talk to one or two people from the forum. And we've got from the Industrial Development Corporation, the IDC, Ms. Zanele Monakgotla, who is on the plenary panel discussion around innovation for transformative change. I thought it would be fun to talk to her, find out what's going on there, and what we might miss if we don't go along to the South Africans, the South African Science Forum 2016 at the CSIR. It's on the 8th and 9th of December. Ms. Zanele Monakgotla, good morning. How are you?
Hi. Good, thanks. And you?
Excellent, thank you. So we're looking forward to hearing what's at the forum, and you're on one of the panels for transformative change. Now, normally when people think about science, science doesn't often to people bring any kind of social agenda with it. But how exactly do you think that the two get married to each other? How do you think that they can make use of each other, science and transformation in society?
Okay. Hi, Gareth, and hi to your listeners.
Thanks.
No, science is very, very important in terms of society and, you know, the earnings, and in terms of also health and welfare, and science is linked to engineering and all your sciences. Mm-hmm. The base of all of that is science. So, where you have a system or a education system where people are well educated, and you have people that are well educated in your sciences, they can then support the economy in developing the economy in terms of the sciences and the engineering fields. And as you know, there's also now ICT, which is very, very important. We have now, the third industrial revolution, which is taking place. And that's become a very, very important, change in terms of how things will be done, how the economy will be run, and it's going to affect all the sectors. So there's a very strong interface, across society in terms of science, what it does to us. I mean, what we eat is based on science. How we do things, how we wash, everything we do, driving cars, aeroplanes, it's all science-based.
Yeah, it's pervasive. It's in every part of our lives, right?
Yes, everything we do.
So if you had to be a part of the think tank that would formulate a new white paper for Parliament, what kinds of things would you want included?
You see, this becomes a very, very important thing. As you know, Gareth, everything you're starting from where you are.
Yeah, right.
So what we do is look at where we are, where we're coming from, and we look at where are the gaps in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the most change needed, and what changes do we need? And we also look at, we've also got to do a trends analysis. What are the trends? What's happening in the rest of the world? Because you must remember that it's a global world now. South Africa is not, in isolation. We don't live by ourselves.
Right.
We've got to take into account the whole globe and what's happening, worldwide. And to make sure that South Africa is obviously competitive and can compete, and we have growing industries, and, GDP growth is extremely important, as we all know. So science, we want to use science and engineering and all of that to, develop our economy. So we'd look at then, as I said, where are we currently as an economy and broader society, and where are the gaps in terms of all the sectors,
mm-hmm.
especially, the science and technology? Where do we need to focus on as a country, and how do we then develop a path to take us where we need to be so that we are globally, sustainable and competitive for the next 20 to 50 years?
Now, one of the things, Zanele, that people are always talking about is that we don't have as many maths and science graduates as we'd like, and we don't have as many people going into the sciences as we'd like, too. It seems that a lot of people want to go into, the humanities or law or business and those things. Is science a popular choice for people at university still?
I'll be honest, Gareth, I don't have the exact stats on that, and I think that's why we even have this science forum, because it's all about, really, this is a public platform for debating science and, society and interface of science and what it does for us. And it's really about, you know, making people aware. I think that, you know, one of the sessions that will be taking place at the session is also gender and, you know, what we need to do to make sure that we have more women participating in science and make science a lot more appealing. So this type of forum is really the type of forum that we need to make, I guess, science sexy and science appealing. But I think other, you know, sectors such as ICT, I think are a lot more appealing than they were in the past. And we are finding that there are a lot more ICT graduates than we've had. We still don't have enough, and we still need more. I know there was a stat that came out. I know some of the tertiary institutions, they're saying that all their students that do ICT are taken up in the market. So, you know, the more, you know, the universities know and the schools know, where is the demand in the economy? Where do we need more jobs and more people to be skilled in so that we can make sure that the students that or the people that go to school are aligning themselves to the right areas where there are job opportunities and where they can, you know, grow and have prosperous, you know, careers. So this is the type of forum where we need to get that out and others, obviously, because these are continuous conversations we need to have with our youth from a very young age that, you know, science is very, very important. Science is fun. Mm-hmm. Science is interesting and really making it, you know, something that they should, you know, look up to and want to participate in. Science is not really difficult. You know, once you get into the disciplines of science quite early, they taught what the discipline is, they can then, you know, make it fun and nice. Science is really all about exploration, you know.
I love it.
And allow our imagination out.
I think this is very, very cool. And I'm just glad that we've got a Department of Science and Technology. I'm glad that we've got people who are trying to push the agenda for science and that we're trying to get young people more and more involved in it because that's the future. If we want to position ourselves as leaders in the world and we want to be seen as being, you know, competitive, as you rightly pointed out earlier, this is the way to go about it. Science is the only way.
Yes, and there are a lot of opportunities. So I want the youth to really embrace science. And really, you know, if you want to, you know, put your imagination out there and your, you know, get out there into, you know, a space where you can be creative and even within the sciences. I mean, we have space, we have ICT.
Yeah.
In ICT, there is so much innovation that's taking place.
Sure.
With the, as I said, the Industrial Revolution, there is just so much opportunity all waiting for, you know, South Africans to really embrace it so that, you know, in terms of youth unemployment, if we can have a lot more youth going into, you know, the ICT and science space, mm-hmm. I think we'd really start closing that gap a lot faster.
Well, thank you for talking to us this morning. It's a pleasure to speak to you. And that is Ms. Zanele Monakhotla, who is with the Industrial Development Corporation. It's a pleasure to speak to you. She's in a plenary panel discussion on innovation policy for transformative change at the new forum, which is being held, the Science Forum 2016. It's this coming 8th and 9th of December, and we'll be broadcasting live from there as well, the CSIR in Pretoria. Cool, right, Mabs? You were a scientist. What are we talking about? You're sitting right here.
Yeah. The good old days, man.
Yeah.
Made my parents proud.
She had a lab coat and everything.
I also started a fire.
You started a fire. You burnt someone's hair off.
Yeah. That was not deliberate, though.
That's what you say.
It was an accident.
After the commission of inquiry, that was your line. That was her takeout. After. That poor girl, she's got no frontal lobe on her brain anymore.
No, the
she's retarded.
No, it wasn't that bad.
Mm.
It wasn't.
She basically drools and poos wherever she walks.
There wasn't that much damage done to her.
All because of Mabali. She just about killed her.
I mean...
What was her name again?
I don't remember.
Gwasentle or something.
No. It was, no.
Yes. She's finished now. Her parents have to pin her into her bed at night because she'll hurt herself.
That's
terrible things.
That's not
you've
how
done.
I remember.
Terrible. All right, Loyiso Gola is coming in just now. I can't wait to talk to this guy, and I'll tell you how much money you need to be happy.
Yes, please.
Because everybody wants to know, right?
Well, everybody, you know, thinks that the more money they have, the happier they'll be.
Yeah, but like Notorious B.I.G. said, more money, more problems. Mm-hmm. So what's the perfect number? Because they've actually done the research. They figured out how much you need to be happy. And it turns out that if you get to that number, anything you make over and above that doesn't make you happier.
What does it do?
From there on, it's you have problems, you have... it's life is just as good or bad. It doesn't make any difference. You're no more happy if you're driving around in a Bugatti as if you are driving around in a, I don't know, a Mercedes. I'll tell you how much the amount is just now, and you can figure out where you fit onto the scale. Below that number, people are all fighting to get ahead. Once you reach that number, if you're happy there, you'll be happy for whatever else you make over and above that. It's pretty fascinating. It's a research study done by Princeton University, and they actually have a figure on what happiness costs and what amount you should aim to have in your life to be truly happy. Because above that, it's not going to make a difference. Below that, you're going to be struggling. Okay?
Okay.
Got it. All right, on the way, Lois Ogola 2. Loads of stuff. Yes, Flex?
Remember we were going to do horoscopes earlier?
Yeah.
So I came up with an idea, and I actually stumbled upon this now.
Horoscopes are total bullshit, by the
way. I have here what you're most likely to get addicted to according to your zodiac sign.
Ooh. Okay, now I want to hear that. We may have to save it for tomorrow, depending. Because suddenly everything's happening at once. But that's a good one.
Okay.
Can we look at it tomorrow?
Sure.
Okay. For those who work, live, and play the night shift, get ready for a little company. My Night Shift is a brand new show on Touch Central, weekdays between 6 and 8 p.m., hosted by some of South Africa's biggest names. Who am I talking about? Tall Ass Mo, Nomza Mombata, and Tim Modise. Yep, what a combo. I mean, the three of them. Can you imagine? A comedian, an actress, and a radio legend. All of them on a different night of the night shift throughout the week with a series of interesting interviews, trending topic discussions, the latest music, and much more. That's My Night Shift, weekdays between 6 and 8 p.m. Zero rated for the MTN family. And by the way, while we're talking about Tim Modise, I don't know if he has, if he's been choosing his own music, Tim, but I would love to hear Tim Modise introduce this song. Hi, I'm Tim Modise. If you want it, you gotta earn. You gotta earn it. Can you imagine him back announcing that? I gotta hear that. Man, I wanna see that song has to be playlisted for him on Thursday, alright? Please make it so. I just wanna hear what he says. Well, that was one hell of a song. Can you imagine him going, fuck it. I'm out of here.
Huh?
Tim Modise, I got to hear that. All right, coming up, Lois Ogola, everybody. Don't move.
Touch Central. Amplifying your HD radio experience this summer.
It's Reiki featuring Aeon Wolf and Please Try. Nice, huh? Lois Ogola is coming in a moment. I just got to tell you this quickly. People say money doesn't buy happiness, right?
They lie.
Mm. According to a new study from Princeton University, it sort of does. Up to $75,000 a year. The lower a person's annual income falls below that benchmark, the unhappier he or she feels. But no matter how much more than $75,000 people make, they don't report any greater degree of happiness. So once you've hit that ceiling, it's about 1,050,000 rand a year.
Okay.
So it's not a ridiculous amount of money. If you think about it, if you do the division, you're looking at probably about 80 grand, which is it's quite hefty, about 80 grand a month. They say if you get to that ceiling, you will not get happier because of money. Money will not make you happy.
Am I the only one that thinks this is complete crap?
Yeah. No, you're not the only one.
Because there's a massive difference and huge things you can do if you're making more than that.
I mean, are you trying...
Five levels different than that.
Are you trying to tell me that somebody like Oprah is not...
Well, Oprah's...
Deliriously happy every day of her life.
Oprah was happy pretty much all the way, except when she was being abused by her father. The rest of her life, she was pretty much happy.
Yeah, but now she's got extra happy because she's got so much money. She's got a South American statement. She's got an Asian statement. She's got an African statement. She's got one from every continent.
No, she's only got the one statement.
But she's got so much money. She's got a whole cupboard of them now.
Listen, I agree with Gareth on this one.
Loy, it's nice to see you, dude. I didn't know I was going to see you in a week. I saw you last week.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You were in here.
I was in here last week, and I thought maybe... Sorry, my voice is a bit groggy. I don't know why.
Lois Ogola, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently, you just got off a plane.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's It's corporate season, Frank.
Oh, so you're doing a lot of gigs and
things. Yeah, so all those things, trying to get to my happiness amount.
But this is it, right? Like, I actually had this conversation, well, not this conversation, but you and I had a nice talk the other day about consumerism. And you said you've broken the back of consumerism in your life.
Yeah, I am way less of a consumer now than ever. Since working and being a professional and just earning, I haven't bought anything this year. I bought like 2 pairs of sneakers every once in a while, but I don't buy anything anymore. I travel to places.
You said you had the same clothes for like 2 years.
Yeah, the clothes I was wearing last week, I was like, oh, these are all from 2 years because because when you realize that the idea of happiness is a personal one.
Mm.
So even the money of 80,000 a month, you buy stuff, and those stuff give you like the feeling of I feel good is so temporary.
Right, it's a dopamine hit.
It's right, and then you got to do it again. That's why people go, I go shopping when I'm depressed, and then it will probably last you 2 days, and then you got to do something else. But if you just find the inner peace in a weird hippie way, of like. Yeah, this doesn't. Most of the things don't. Like, if I didn't come for this interview, life would go on. If I didn't buy the Prada boots, life goes on. If I don't buy the Nike stuff, life continues, and life is just happening with or without you. So, once you understand a few little things like that, you just go, yeah. I'm generally a happier human being than I was ever in my life.
So, according to this research, to highlight the thing that Ben brought up now, because I want to talk to you in a second, but since we're here, we may as well talk about it. According to this, anything under that amount, you're still kind of having to fight for survival in some places, whether it's shelter, whether it's food, whether it's clothing, whether it's basic necessities, whether it's putting your kids through school, whatever it might be. There are costs. And the more costs you have and the less money you have to handle those costs, the more unhappy you're likely to be. Up to a point.
Yeah, but you know, I was having a schooling. This is a bit off the subject, but people don't think out the box. So people want to send their kids to the best schools. But then the problem we have as society is that we don't think about each other. We think about ourselves. So then what happens? So someone asked me the other day why they said they would never send their kids to a public school. They want the best for their kids. But the value you get out of a really good private school, I'm talking about life value and mix it up with academics, is really bad. It's not worth the money they're charging.
No, I agree.
Right? That's one. So I go, what's a way to maneuver the education system and still in a way like help everyone around? My kids will never smell a private school. I will take them to a public school. Mm-hmm. That's one. And I would... With the influence that I have in society, I would raise money for that school. So when my kids leave that school, that's a better school for every kid that was there. So the school improves. My kids interact with kids from all backgrounds. Imagine your kid is, you're rich. Can I say fuck?
Yeah, go. Anything you like.
You're rich as fuck. You go, you take your kids with other kids who are rich as fuck. This kid has no perspective of life. So my kid... This kid just really does. So my plan with my kids, if they go to, if I'm in South Africa at that time, I'm just saying they will go to a regular school that I will personally put money into if they need a piano. If there's a kid who needs a piano, me as Lezo Gola will hustle a piano.
And then that whole school will
And then the whole school will have a piano. If they need laptops, we will hustle. I do so many gigs with, like, you do a gig for HP. Rather than take them to, I'm not bashing Hilton. I'm just using it as an example.
But you're going to put, what, 100,000 rand a term or whatever it is into that school.
Yeah.
And they've got 5 pianos.
Man, Gladwell did a whole book. I mean, have you heard where he talks about how much money they
the US pump colleges?
Yeah, they pump so much money into Harvard and Columbia and Ivy League schools.
What do they call them?
Ivy Leagues.
Yeah, no, but they call there's endowments.
Yes,
that's what they are. Endowments. These colleges, Mubs. Do you know that Harvard has saved up? Stanford, Harvard, and Yale have saved up so much money. In endowments, they have like billions. with a B, billions.
What are they doing with all that?
And they're still charging people to come into university.
Yes.
Now. Like, oh, no, sorry, it's very expensive.
And there's still universities without resources.
Yeah.
And you're like, so you have like these few universities that have all the money and then all the other ones.
No, you're just talking, he's talking about a podcast that Malcolm Gladwell did.
I generally don't like podcasts because people ramble.
Mm.
And so most podcasts I can listen to, even if it's an hour podcast, I can listen to 35 minutes max because they're either going to repeat themselves or they're just going to waffle on. The initial parts of a podcast are always great.
It's called Revisionist History.
Yeah, it's called Revisionist. It's a great podcast. Got to check. It's the best podcast I have ever heard in my entire life. And I've lived for long.
Mm. So now, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm cool. I'm a bit tired. I mean, I'm happy. I was talking to a friend last night. She's like, "Yo, come to Buenos Aires, just to hang out." Because I haven't seen her in a bit, and she lives in Paris. And she's like, "Yo, come hang out." And I was like, "Okay, cool. I'll think about it." So I've really been thinking about going to Buenos Aires.
Oh wow! I've never been to Argentina. I'd love to go.
Yeah. So that's the one thing that's really consuming my mind at the moment. But I'm cool. I'm chilled. I haven't seen my mom in a bit, so I gotta go see her for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Down in Cape Town.
Yeah. I've been talking to my agent a lot, and she's trying to like do all these. She's trying to put together these dates for me next year, and we gotta have that concluded by New Year's at least, maybe just after.
But
Christmas.
But now this is crazy season, right? Or is it started to drop off?
For me, it's not too. It's crazy. It's probably the most amount of corporate work I'll do in a span of a week. But it's. I'm not as crazy as the other dudes. I know dudes who are really... I'm like, nah, I don't want to do... Every day, that's a bit crazy. I got other things to do.
All right, don't react immediately. Because what I'm going to say might either make you angry or happy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll probably be happy about
okay.
it.
Okay, but like, here it is. Like, you are beyond having to do... In some ways, you're not like one of the comedians. Now, I don't want to make you... No. Think that you're not in that group because you probably want to be in that group, or maybe you are when you feel like it and you aren't when you don't. But the fact is, like, you've had a tremendously successful TV show. You do huge amounts of international work. You can pick and choose your corporate gigs. You don't have to do
whatever
comes up.
Right.
It's almost like you've transcended. You're
between
the Trevor level. If, again, don't get upset.
No, you're between the Trevor level.
And the level of the very best stand-up comedians in South Africa who really are at the top of their game. Because you have this thing going on where, everybody knows Loyiso Ogola. You don't have to put extra effort into being you. You do good stuff. Your work is always excellent. But there's no competition really for you now. You're at the top of the pile.
Here's the thing about stand-up that... doesn't really apply to many genres of entertainment. Many genres. It's like I've written 3 hours of material in terms of I've released an hour and then I release another hour. But every time you start writing a new hour, you back from to scratch.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't really apply because people go, well, if Rihanna drops another, they go, that's a Rihanna album.
Mm.
But with stand-up, you got to go to the... You gotta go to the clubs.
I don't know, dude. I think that you...
No, you have to absolutely go to the clubs.
Well, to test the material.
To test the material but and work the stuff and be in the environment that allows you to be funny.
If you did an average set, not that you would, but let's say you did an hour of new material and it wasn't breaking through the kind of stuff you had to do to get noticed once.
Right.
You've got reputation.
I do have.
That
I do.
Carries you some of the way.
I do have reputation, but then that's why now I'm going to Australia. I'm in Australia for 2 months.
Oof. How's that? Those people are strange. Is it mostly South Africa?
No.
Mostly South Africans who come to your show?
It's the Melbourne Festival. And also, I do a show there called The Weekly. And it'll be the first time that I'll come into the studio and
so you
do stuff.
Recording TV shows?
I'll record a TV show. Yeah. I'm a cast member in one of the TV shows in Australia. And I usually do the show via satellite.
Right.
So they have the satellite and I'm there and I'm like, I'm reporting live from South Africa and I do the bits.
Because people are still upset that you aren't still doing that show on E!
Yeah, the Uber driver just now is like, yo, when's that show coming back? The political side. That's the thing. You mustn't... People... When you have the best time in a party. It's when you left, the party still jumping. When they put on the lights, you've ruined your own fun.
When they kick you out.
When they kick you out. When the DJ is like,
see the floor is sticky.
Yeah, it's sticky. No, you don't. You know what I mean? So it's the same. It's like you gotta leave when it's, you have people who love the show. You don't want them to go, hey, it's not the same. Yes. Then you're like, you gotta go. Even Chris Rock did a talk show. Extremely successful talk show. I mean, I think it was 97. And then it stopped. People were shocked. They were like, what do you mean? This show is... It was like, yeah, but you got to leave. Chappelle, you just got to leave.
Dave Chappelle.
You got to leave the thing.
That guy, do you remember he turned down $50 million or whatever it was? Could even have been more.
Yeah, but he just got $40 million now for two specials from Netflix. Mm.
But remember when he turned it down, everybody went, what are you, insane? And he disappeared for 2 years.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You just got to go from... And you got to pursue... You got to plan your next thing. This is the thing. You want to plan your next thing, not react to your next thing. You understand what I mean?
Mm.
So you got to go, I'm done with this. I'm moving on to this as well. Oh, my fuck. This is over. What am I going to do next? Let me start planning. So you just got to... You got to trust that the decision that you're making is a good one and plan for the next thing as opposed to the show has been canned. And I mean, the channel made it seem like they canned the show for
which
press,
they didn't.
Which they didn't.
They've still got your set stuck in a storeroom somewhere. They do, and they're hoping you'll come back and do it now.
Oh no, I mean, we had a conversation recently and we were, no. It's done.
Yeah.
I mean, also someone else must just do the political satire.
You get to a point where you're like, okay, I've made my contribution. It's someone else's turn.
Yeah. That's like cool. I'm happy with it. I mean, I'm even changing country. I'm moving countries as well. End of Feb, I'm moving to London.
Permanently?
I got a residency. That's so amazing. They gave me a 5-year residency. I'll see how long.
Hell yes, dude.
So I gotta go do other things.
Do you get shit from people who say, well, you're abandoning South Africa?
Nah, it's
good.
No, I mean, even if I did get shit from people, I don't give a fuck.
Like, you don't care.
It doesn't matter. No. It doesn't matter. Like, I always like tell, like, I wish I could tell people on Twitter and shout this in the Twitter world. It doesn't matter because no one really gives a fuck.
Mm.
Right?
But you've got into some situations on Twitter too where...
Yeah, but none of the things... It doesn't affect my real life.
You give people...
Yesterday,
you give it back to them.
Yeah, but yesterday I tweeted that... People, because there's a sentiment that 2016 is a horrible year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, it's not a horrible year. Right? If you have the perspective, you know there are people who lived through wars and depression back to back. Are you fucking crazy? Back to back. The guy came out of a war and then as soon as the depression was over, then Hitler decided, no, fuck you all, we're going to war again. Imagine, that's 10 years of your life. You're telling me about 8 months of 2016 where, ooh, I couldn't afford data. Go fuck yourself. That's my sentiment. I'm like, shut the fuck up, man. It's bullshit. And so now it's like some of them had good years, but because the sentiment is, oh, 2016 was shit. And people like to, and here's the thing. People don't accept life. Life is life. You are not the first person to lose a family member. Motherfuckers die every day. The problem is, you know what? No. But you know what the problem is? The problem is that in the ecosystem of life, mm-hmm. there's life and death, mm-hmm. and as human beings, we're biased towards life.
Sure.
And we don't acknowledge, and so we refuse to acknowledge and accept the idea of death. So when we don't accept it, when it happens, it hits our system in a very different way, as opposed to a person who goes, "Yeah, but people die every day."
Yeah, but also we've got an obsession with death. You say we don't acknowledge it, but we're completely obsessed with it, which is why we have these elaborate funerals and we have these... People spend more money when they're saying goodbye to someone than during the life where they could have actually been with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's the weirdest thing. And if people will say nice things about someone who's died, they'll say, oh, you know, Loisa was such a good guy. He made me laugh a lot. But while you're alive, they don't pick up the phone.
I started saying everything I want to say to a human being. So if I say, if I think that you're funny,
yeah,
I will call you on a random day and be like, I really think you're funny, and I really, and comics really don't know how to react to this. And sometimes I don't have the person's number, and I just go to their DMs and I go, hey man, I really think what you're doing is great. And then the person's like, they really, because people, humans are not used to getting random praise in that way. And so I make it as concise as possible. I go, oh, this is, and you inspire me in this way. And I keep it moving. And people, just on the basis that I don't want you to die or feel, and then I go, oh man, that dude was dope.
Yeah.
And you're like, nah, just tell him, just tell the dude. And Mojek said to me, he called me the other day. I was in London, and it was the weather. It kind of bummed me out. And he's like, hey man, I just wanted to say that, Mojek Lahog, you know Mojek Lahog. Mm. He said, oh man, I just wanted to say what you're doing with comedy is influencing everyone, and it's quite inspirational. Then I was like, oh man, where did that come from? Then he said, no, I just feel like saying everything I want to say to everyone. Then I said, okay, cool, that sounds dope. And he said, you should try it. I said, okay, I'll give it a bash. And I just started doing it.
And now it's working.
Yeah, I just text random people. I'm like, oh, like even some. I'm just like, hey man, I saw you on the show. I thought you pulled it off. I thought you had a great scene there.
Apparently, Nina Hasty is still fingering herself over something nice you said to her the other day.
What did I?
No, I'm kidding. Is that why she was walking around the studio like that? It was so awkward.
Guys,
now listen. You guys, you came in. I was sitting there. I was busy. I don't know, sending an email or something really mundane. And you stopped, you were here for a recording or whatever, and we had a chat, and it ended up like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But you told me a couple of things. First, the consumerism thing, which you've stopped.
Consumerism was constructed. It's good for the economy, but it's not a good habit.
Yeah, but people are obsessed with things.
Yeah.
And even if you listen to music, people are listing stuff they have.
Right.
Material stuff they have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you're like, yo, this for me is indicative of unhappiness. Really happy people?
Yeah.
Don't tell you what they have. They're just like, oh, I'm chilled. I'm happy. Whatever.
They talk about feelings and relationships.
Yeah, and all that kind of
philosophy
stuff.
Philosophy and that kind of crap.
And that kind of crap.
No,
yeah.
But it's true. That's what they do.
But
you never hear them going up. My Bugatti's just arrived today. I'm very excited.
Yeah. So I mean, listen. On the other end of the spectrum as well, you know, people work hard, and I'm not saying people shouldn't have those things. And I'm saying it's when consumerism starts defining you where it becomes. And I'm a big rap music fan. And it bums me out a bit that the genre is defined by materialism.
Yeah.
And there's no other genre like that. It's a very materialistic. And it's extremely influential to young black males. And I'm just like, ugh. You know,
yeah.
And I get the idea of aspiration, but it also just it fuels the culture of consumerism, and it doesn't. And I'm like, black people are going through so much shit. Why are you telling me about a Bugatti, fam?
Making me feel even worse.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's what it does.
Know. Yeah.
I mean, Instagram and Twitter and all this stuff, it just makes people feel worse because they see how great other people's lives are when they're not really great. They're just taking a picture with a car.
Yeah.
And they think, oh, my life is horrible by comparison.
I've had like the...
And it drives you even lower, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've had like the weirdest like 2016. But I learned like a great lesson. Like 2016 is my most traveled year. But it was also my most financially like, what the fuck is happening here? Self-inflicted. I just decided to become a property mogul. I didn't know how.
You bought a whole bunch of properties?
I bought a property and then I decided to renovate it immediately. And I did the most crazy renovations. And I'm just like, okay, now I'm out of money. But I wanted to try. And I just. And so what I realized this year is that. And so I was like, ah, shit. But.
You've overextended yourself.
I extremely overextended myself.
So
but,
this consumerism is all bullshit. You actually just didn't have money.
No. But what I learned, I traveled pretty much close to 15 cities. Yeah, just going. I was in Tartu. I was in like Helsinki.
Where the hell is Tartu?
Tartu is Oh, don't. Ah, tattoo.
That sounds like what I ate at that book brunch. T-A-R.
Oh, man, how can I forget in this country now? Tartu is the capital of...
Estonia?
Estonia!
Never heard of Tartu.
Tartu.
Can people even speak English there?
Yeah. They actually speak better English than most European cities that are. And it was crazy because there were no black... But I was touring. There are no black people there. I went a full week without seeing black people.
That so when the they saw wrong. You, were they just blown?
No, because they caught around. You can't now just stare. You can't just be like, yo, what happening here?
Especially because you're so tall. Yeah. So you walk into a room, other people, dwarves.
So that was cool. But over and above that, it was just dope to go. I'm not coming to the city to shop. I'm just coming to this because I'm like, I can't just use this money to shop. I just have to enjoy the city and look at other things and find other things to do.
Are you pretty open to meeting people in those sort of situations, or do you keep to yourself?
I'm half and half. There's two conversations that get me going, right? A football conversation opens me up like... My last three reads were about football. My next read is about football. So now I've developed like a small obsession with coaching and strategy and remember like the way people look at football is the on the field stuff. But remember, if you're coaching Manchester United, you are running essentially, right? You're running a 300 million pound organization.
Right.
That's a 3 billion rand.
This is what Ben tries to get us to understand every morning.
That's what you're doing. That's what you're managing. That's why they fire you quickly. They're like, no. You don't have this thing at all. So it's incredibly fascinating to read up on those people's strategies. Pep Guardiola's strategy, Arsene Wenger's strategy, Mourinho's strategy. It's, for me, that's my new fascination because I love football. So now I'm like, what's happening behind the scenes to make this all happen? So that's my obsession. So for me, if someone opens up a conversation about football, I'm like, I'm in. And there's certain conversations that get me going. And sometimes I'm keen on meeting people. But most of the time,
you just want to keep to yourself.
I just want to kind of keep to my, only because I don't know. I don't. There's some. Yeah, I kind of keep to myself. If I think about it, I keep to myself.
You said the other day to me as well. You had an appointment at, I don't know, 2 o'clock or whatever, and you said you don't know what you're going to do between there and 2 o'clock. Now, you know, most people have a 9 to 5, and they have to be at the office. They clock in the morning. They get, if they're lucky, they get a lunch break.
Yes.
Where they can eat something and maybe have a cigarette outside or whatever. And then they go back to work and they belong to somebody.
Right.
For that day. And you've never had that. I've never had that. You've never been owned by anyone.
No, I've been owned. I've been owned by my mother.
Yeah, but
I mean, I don't want to think about it that way. I don't want to think about it as someone owning me, but I do want to think about, I've had to think of every minute of my time since I was 18. So now sometimes I'm like, what am I going to do with my, it was a real thing. I was like, what am I going to do with my time? Because I've never had a job.
What I love is you're so honest about it. Most people pretend to be busy.
No.
When they're not busy.
But
I'm not saying you didn't have, you had a 2 o'clock appointment and you said to me, you looked at your watch. You're like, I don't know what I'm going to do now. And I suddenly thought, well, first of all, this is so refreshing because it's so honest. Like most people would say, I've got to do this and I've got to do that.
No.
They can seem to be important.
Now, here's the thing. You just said this on radio. Now people who have deadlines.
Going to fill up your day.
Yeah, even people who I didn't get back to last year are like, can't do yet, free time. I have the only thing, I've got a meeting today. That's at 10:30. And then hopefully I'll be out of the 11 because I give people 30 minutes.
You don't need long meetings.
You never need long meetings. Now, 30 minutes is, you can get everything in 30 minutes. And then I've got to write a Tribe Called, I've already written it, a Tribe Called Quest review for this magazine called Plug. They just called me and said, we know you're a Tribe Called Quest fan. Can you just, so I don't want to.
What is this? Is a game?
No, man. A Tribe Called Quest.
What is that?
Oh.
I don't know what that is.
A Tribe Called Quest.
What is that?
Q-Tip and Five Dog.
Tribe Called Quest.
Now you call them...
You don't listen to music.
No, but what are you talking about?
Tribe Called Quest just released a new album a month ago. They haven't released an album in 18 years.
I've never heard of these people.
Tribe Called Quest.
Tribe Called Quest.
Stop saying that. I'm not fucking stupid. I just don't know who this is.
Tribe Called Quest.
A Tribe Called Quest.
What is wrong with you people?
Yo, you call my heart for you mean. probably do not. Yo, you call my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheeks, moved in. You confused.
Gareth, A Tribe Called Quest. Come on.
Actually, Gareth, fuck you. You have to know Five Tribe Called Quest. It's fucking Tribe Called Quest, dude. Come on.
Nope.
Five Dog, Q-Tip, Ali Shaheed, Muhammad. What Sorry. Do you mean?
I didn't know.
I'm going to storm
out
of here.
You have to do a review.
I got to review the new album.
And who's this for?
Plug Magazine. And they wanted today, and I should have handed it to them last week.
On that day, you had some time.
On the day, I had some time. But I didn't formulate my thoughts yet. So I do have the review, but I'm like, this is going out to the world. People don't understand that the internet is permanent.
Yeah.
It's a permanent thing. This interview, me saying, fuck you, Gareth, for not knowing the Tribe Called Quest, will live forever and ever. Amen.
I'm going to get a lot of shit from people because I didn't know Tribe Called Quest.
What?
Yeah, watch.
Of course,
I've never heard of them.
I swear to God, you probably.
I'll find it now. Let me look for this. You've made it a thing. Now I'm embarrassed.
The Tribe Called Quest is probably one of the most influential.
All right, got him here. Let me see.
A Tribe Called Quest, not just Tribe. A Tribe, like a pink name slipback.
What are we doing? Can I kick it?
Can I kick
it? Yes, you can.
No, not that one. There's a song called Steve Biko. That's the I like. That's my favorite song.
That's kind of like saying who's Biggie.
No, that's like saying who's Mick Jagger. It's like saying, yo, who are the Beatles?
Really? Am I that
yes,
stupid?
Yes, yes, Gareth, yes. It's like saying, yo, who are the Beatles, though?
All right, let me find Steve Biko.
Fine.
It's from 1993. I should know this.
Unbelievable.
I'm so embarrassed.
I really know how it feels to be. Right. They did a song for Steve Biko when he was assassinated. And they just called the song Steve Biko. Then my hand, just a 10, but there was every people president. Rude boy composer, step to me, you're over. Brothers want to flex,
you're not mad cobra. And be sure you're black. How can I not know this? This is exactly the kind of stuff I like. I can't believe these people are
Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah. I had no idea, dude. I'm not even on the reserve with this one.
Well, now you know.
Amazing.
Well, now you know.
All right, very good.
A Tribe Called Quest.
And if you don't know, now you know. There you go. All right, so you sorted me out. Who are you still seeing regularly, like around? Who are your friends? Like, you still see lots of Kagiso and those guys?
Yeah, I see him every day.
Every day?
Yeah.
Really?
Because I'm in between spaces now. I'm still renovating. I'm still renovating. I've decided to move, so I got all my stuff in storage.
Yeah. So what are you, like, shacking up with people?
Yeah, he's got a big house. He'll be staying there.
Yeah, he has got a big house, I've heard.
he's got a dope crib. And he let me stay at his house, which is cool. But I'm going to go home in December. And yeah, so I see him a lot. I still see everyone, man. I see the younger comics way more. I see Riyadh a lot. He started doing a lot of stand-up. Yeah. I see Stuart. I saw Stuart this weekend. I see, when I'm in New York, I see Trevor.
How's he doing?
He's doing great.
Is he happy?
Extremely happy.
I mean, the guy's just killing, right?
He's happy. I see Dave.
Uh-huh.
He's in, when I'm in New York, I see him as well. I see everybody.
That's fantastic.
I'm still in touch with my friends who I know since I was probably like 7.
Now, what do you do when you go home for the holidays now?
For Christmas.
Yeah, so you go home to your mom.
Listen to your mom's bullshit stories about families who are sick.
is she at that point where she talks about, like, who's sick and who's dying?
She tells me about family relatives. I have no idea who they are. Remember when you were 3? You're like, I don't remember anything.
She's not still in Google yet.
No. My mom. Yeah, I bought
her a house.
I bought her a really fancy crib.
A friend of mine I saw on Facebook over the weekend bought his mom a car. Mm. So he's done well. He's had a corporate job for a while. He used to be in radio with me. and he bought his mom, who's never had her own car, a car. For the first time, and I just thought, what an awesome thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, what a great thing to do. Because so many people, like you said earlier, we're so wrapped up in ourselves. And can you imagine what a difference it makes to this woman? She's never had a car.
Yeah. Huh? Does she have a license, though?
Well, no. That's why the car won't last very
long. You ain't got no license, though. That's what I always used to think when I watched Pimp My Ride. I'm like, these people can't sustain the technology that's in their cars. Like, if any of these things packs out, this person starts to show off, I'm a student, I'm broke, I can't afford to pimp my car.
Yeah.
Right. Then they put a fucking aquarium in your boot. Now you got a motherfucking aquarium in your boot. Now let's say a pipe in the aquarium bursts.
Yeah.
Where the fuck are you going to fix it with your student budget? And I was like, and in my brain I was like, this show is bullshit. And everyone was like, Pimp My Ride was dope, and that kept on stressing me out. But like, these people can't afford this thing. Because to buy the car is one thing. To maintain the car is another thing.
So what do you do when you go to Cape Town?
I hang out with my friends. There's a lot of my friends I haven't seen in a long time. Because I grew up in Cape Town.
I see a lot of my friends.
Me and my mom go out, eat. I listen to her stories. My mom retired. She's one of those people who's worked for like 30 years.
What did she do?
She worked at the bank. And then she hated it. And then we spoke about it for a bit. Then I said, listen, man, just quit. We'll figure it out. Just quit. And then she was there for a year. Then she'll call me like 12 in the afternoon. She's like, yo, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm not doing much, but I don't feel like talking to you right now. Because you're just bored, and you're just going to transfer your boredom to me. Just leave me alone. And she was bored out of her mind. So she had just had fine things to do with her time. And she's cool now. She's fine things to do with her time. But for the first, like, 2 years, she was bored. She's like, she used to look at me when she was going to work, like, then what are you going to do the whole day? Then it was her turn. Bored out of her fucking mind. I tell you that much.
She'll find stuff. Don't you worry.
No, she's found stuff. Now she's organizing all kinds of things. Charity,
Sounds like she's a busy woman, though.
Yeah.
Not going to sit on her hands. Now, listen, what is this Vimeo stuff?
What is this Vimeo stuff? I got an hour of stand-up comedy that I did on Vimeo in New York, in Bushwick, at a place called House of Yes, which is like a cabaret space. Mm-hmm. But I did some stand-up there. I did an hour. We cut it down to 42 minutes of stand-up comedy, and it's available on Vimeo.
Yeah.
But over and above that, Vimeo is not a traditional comedy platform.
No. That's why it was their first.
I'm their first special ever, so I don't know how their audiences are computing that, because
people have to pay.
Yeah, you pay like $10 to buy it, and like $4 or $5 to rent it. I mean, it's available worldwide.
Are they giving you per subscriber a certain amount?
Yeah, we have a revenue split.
And you think they're being honest with you?
You never know. You just gotta go with them. I mean, I don't have the technology to regulate them.
You could check it out.
I just
see that they're 20,000.
But I don't think those are good people. Yeah. I've met those people. They're good people, and I mean, if they can live with their conscience,
sure. If they are ripping you off,
oh no, I don't think so though. I really don't think so.
I'm just quoting. Now he's gonna worry about it. What?
No. I'm not gonna worry about it at all. So it's on Vimeo, and it exists there. People purchase it. I mean, I've had some people who've emailed me and said, "Oh man, I do a lot of political stuff.
Yeah.
American
politics for them, obviously.
Not necessarily.
South African politics.
Politics are global-ish politics.
Yeah.
So I talk about my growing up, and it's silly. One of the reviewers said that the show floats between silliness and truths throughout. It's like a 40 minutes of that was silly, that was true, that was silly, that was true, and that was exactly my intention. So when they said that on writing, I was like, oh man, this is
that's cool. That's a nice review.
It's a cool review. Yeah, so it's on Vimeo and it's available for people to purchase. I don't know. I mean, we have a very weird internet situation in the country, and it's extremely unacceptable that we have this slow internet and it's inaccessible. And I was saying to someone, like, people cannot access things and people can't access things like internet and stuff like that. And it's crazy for me because it's a missed opportunity for young entrepreneurs. Because the internet allows us to sort out our own problems.
Correct.
Right? And so if people don't have that, I mean, in a space where the economy is kind of sluggish, you need young people to be competing globally in creating ideas. And I feel like this slowness of the internet and the inaccessibility of the internet has slowed down South Africa so much. Because young kids are still looking at the government for solutions. You're like, you have the power to have this, but the government hasn't given you this power to create your own solution.
But isn't that
so you can't invent?
But doesn't that serve them? Because then
I don't think they're purposefully holding back the internet. I think that there's no political will to get the thing going. There's a hospital that was built. The children's hospital.
The Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital.
The government wasn't involved in that.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's huge.
Do you understand what I mean? Yeah,
and it's like, high-tech equipment, this
is
everything.
Do you know what's crazy about Jacobson? I realized this the other day. Is that, you know, we all have dodgy friends. There's no one on planet Earth.
Sure. That
I've got dodgy friends where I'm like, if I'm with this guy, I got to get my dodgy hat on. I must be cognizant of the dodginess.
Yes.
Now I've got three of them. The rest of my friends, I'm like, these are my dudes.
Yeah.
These are stand up guys, whatever. You cannot have your whole squad dodgy. That's the thing about Jacob. You're like, fam, your whole situation is like, you can't have your whole posse dodgy, dog. That's a one way ticket to a fuck up. Like we all have that the lying friend, the stealing friend, the little friend. You cannot have your whole posse like that. You gotta have two, three niggas like that. But you have your whole like every dude in your squad is dodgy as shit. No, Jacob, no, bro, please, man. I mean, now I'm not even like worried about your capabilities as a president. I'm like, your ability to choose friends is shit, bro.
Listen, bro, you've got a meeting at 10:30, which is going to last half an hour. I don't want to keep you.
No, that meeting is not going to last. Because the person who's in that meeting, Luisa, what we thinking is that we were thinking of an idea where you are wearing a clown costume. And then you come in and then you slip on a banana peel. And then you fall over. And then we record it, okay?
Oh, God, please record the meeting just for fun. If it goes badly, one day we can put it out as a
She's
special.
Probably listening and she's going to be like, hysterical. Shut
up. All right, dude, thank you so much for coming to see
us. Thank you for having me.
It's always good to see you.
My agent always... She's always saying that I ramble in interviews.
No, you don't. You were great today. And very, very entertaining. This is the most fun we've had in a long time.
You say that. He says that to everyone, huh?
No, he absolutely doesn't.
Yeah, she really doesn't.
And I chase them, though. They're not interesting. Ask Ben and my buddy. There was one guy who lasted, what, 2 minutes the other day?
Yeah.
Why?
And then you asked him to leave.
Why? Was he like a...
It was just a bad interview. So.
It's boring.
Really?
Yeah,
have you ever seen me when the Media 24 interview where I just walked out? The chick walked out, then I started interviewing myself.
That's hysterical.
It had 200,000 hits.
I'm going to go look at that right now.
No, it's not available on the internet.
They take it
down?
They
took it off. Because it had 200,000 hits in an hour and then they removed it.
But she just got
even,
up and
you
left?
You know how crazy? It even
how
made
did
it,
that happen?
She was such, no, she was, I mean, she was a young interviewer, so she kept on asking me these questions, but like, so who are you dating? What will you do on your first date? Then I was like, listen, man, these are quite tabloidy kind of things. And I'm not like, not a tabloidy kind of human being, but these are shitty questions that you're asking. So I'm saying this in my body language, not vocal, but I'm saying and so.
You're giving you the cold shoulder.
Yeah. And then she's like, so what? What do you, it seems like you're exploring this idea of, you know, of God-given talent. I don't remember the question. Then I said, well, the thing about God, he doesn't really exist.
And she got up and left.
I mean, I was breaking her balls. And I think, like, it hit a cul-de-sac. I mean, it was a disaster. And then at the end of it...
I love it.
And then she... This is like... And then she storms off. She says, this is bullshit. And then she storms off. Then I'm like, yeah, but that's very unprofessional of you to just storm off. So then I started interviewing myself. Then I sat on her chair, sat on my chair, sat on her chair, sat on my chair. And then the chick... And then this thing was on the internet for a long time. And then, you know what it made? It made, like, I think it was, like... French news, you know, at the end where they tell you about the biggest pumpkin planted in San Francisco.
Awesome.
Some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I was there at the end. No, this is Juan de la Chupita, not too hard to do interview. It is crazy. Crazy. Watch it.
It's crazy. All right, let me wrap it up with the news for this morning. Lois Ogola, everybody. Is there something you need to plug or you just had it?
I'm in Cape Town from the 20th to the 23rd. I'm in PE on the 15th of December, and then I'm in Pretoria on the 11th. So come check me out. Let's
All right.
Follow me on Twitter.
Get him while you can. He says he's moving to London for a gig that he's got there for like 5 years. So if you haven't seen him now, you're going to be sorry. Huh?
You'll be fine.
No, you'll wait 5 years, please. By then you'll be cynical like George Carlin.
They'll be fine. Like, if you don't see my... You'll be fine. Like...
All right, here it is. Miraculously, South Africa managed to avoid junk status from the ratings agencies over the weekend. Like the ICC, though, the ANC considering just pulling out of the ratings agencies. They don't see what all the fuss is about. It's only Pravin that talks about them, and nobody in the party cares what he says nowadays anyway. In other news, Ford is feeling the heat right now. A bunch of their Cougars are bursting into flames. Yes, that's a make of car. The Ford Cougar is normally fun and reliable. Not the most desirable as rides go, but something that some guys are really into. Getting burned by a Cougar is nothing new, though. Just talk to Suzanne Sarandon's exes. I don't know what we mean. And finally, despite a run of poor form, Kaizer Chiefs coach Steve Kompella isn't planning on leaving anytime soon. Speaking at a team press conference, Kompella had this to say. When met with adversity, one must hear the sounds of the harp and enjoy the ability one has to add a string to the bow. From this bow, one must fire an arrow of victory before the fires of desire engulf those that doubt the archer.
Steve, I think I don't think labor laws apply to Steve.
I don't think any laws apply. All right, everybody. Lois Ogola, thank you so much.
Thank
Ariane
you for having me.
Up next, we got some great shows on cliffcentral.com as well this morning. Let me think. We've got the Leadership Platform with Adrian Groenewald later on today. Ben with the Bounce and some sport. And plenty more. Make sure you don't miss a damn thing. All right?
This is cliffcentral.com.